Hospitality. Have you ever thought to consider in your own heart and life whether that's or how you're doing in the area of hospitality? What is hospitality? Hospitality is the taking in and care of others, whether they be known or unknown. In the books of 2nd and 3rd John, as we are looking at them, deal very straightforwardly with this topic of hospitality. If you remember back just a couple weeks ago, we looked at 2nd John, and you would turn there. Some of you have already started that, but 2nd John, it talked about handling false teachers and how important it was that we not aid them in their work. That we be very cautious and careful in how we deal with them. That we not give them a hearing, but that we speak the truth to them. John the Apostle, he's quite old at this point. He's living in a Roman world, most likely under Emperor Domitian, and the persecution is heavy against Christians. That means it's just not favorable to be a follower of Christ. And so he is the last living apostle, the last one who has walked and talked and lived with Jesus Christ, last one to be alive. He is seeking to fill the church with truth, knowing that his life is going to probably soon come to an end. The letter of 2 John, he wrote to a church most likely under persecution, under the guise of a letter to a dear lady, and seeks to keep them straight in the truth, establishing truth. 3 John, he writes to a man named Gaius, a leader in the church. We do not know the location of where he lived, but most likely it was in Asia. And in the first four verses, we understand this important truth, that it is important that we live and walk in the truth in such a way that those that have poured the truth into our lives may look and rejoice. Do you realize that you have observers of your life, that people are watching you? I know that there has been people with whom I've had the opportunity to share life with, to pour truth in, to disciple. And it is a joy and a privilege to watch their life and to watch them grow. And so those of you that have children, it's the same kind of thing. You pour into their lives. And as it says in verse 4 of 3 John, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now this is the old apostle, and he's speaking of all these people, and he's looking at them and he's saying, I have great joy. You bring great joy to my heart. I want to begin reading in 3 John at verse 5. And we're going to see tonight two main characters. And I want you to take note tonight of these two characters. I say characters or people. They have names. And these two men are leaders in the church. But what's fascinating is that these two men both are leaders, but they are leading in opposite directions. Look at verse 5. Beloved, and again he's speaking here to Gaius, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers of the truth. I wrote unto the church, But Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, received us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbids them that they would, and cast them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that does good is of God, but he that does evil has not seen God. Demetrius hath a good report of all men, and of the truth itself, yea, and we also bear record that you know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto you. But I trust I shall shortly see you, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to you. Our friends salute you. Greet the friends by name. John, writing to Gaius here, and he is again speaking in a response to a report he has received about this church, about the health of this church, about the goings on and the things that are happening. And he receives this report from some brethren that must have gone through this place and have experienced firsthand the hospitality or the lack thereof, depending on whose house they knocked, of this church in Asia. Now, tonight we're going to see some principles concerning life and hospitality that we can learn here from this little letter that John wrote. I want you to take note here tonight of how John speaks of the believers. You notice throughout this letter, in verse 2 and in verse 5 and in verse 11, you see this word, beloved. You know, you probably have caught on, but I've coined a term for you, dear ones. I find myself speaking that of you often, and when I speak that, it communicates a heart feeling, a commitment, or an affection for you as my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. It dear ones, communicates how precious you are to me, to my heart and my life. Now, ultimately, that is of little value in comparison to our value to Christ. But again, how we speak of one another is an important thing, and it is a marker of the health of our relationships. Beloved. In the middle of this word, you see four letters beginning with L and ending with E, and they spell love. This is the agape love, and this is the love that speaks of a commitment and a sacrifice. This is the kind of love that is kind of beyond that of emotion. It requires commitment. It goes beyond the fact of really just the idea of liking a person. It's the choice of, I value you. As John speaks to these folks and to these people, they are living faithfully, it says in verse 5, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. And he speaks of them with a term of endearment and love. Now, as we take note here, he says, thou doest faithfully whatever you do to the brethren and to strangers. Now, what is he talking about here? I believe what he's talking about here is how you have treated other people that have come through your town, whether they be believers, people you have known, or whether they be people that you have not known. You have been faithful in treating them as God would treat them. Notice here it says, which have borne witness. Now, who is bearing witness? I believe this is the brethren and strangers. I believe this is the band of men that have come back to the Apostle John and given a report. And this is their report, that they report the love that they experienced in that church, verse 6. Whom if you bring forward, thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. He is affirming their treatment of people coming through. You know, this is an important thing for us as a church. Periodically, we do have people come through, missionaries. We had one this morning, and it is an important thing that we aid these folks in their endeavors and travels. You see here in this term here, in middle verse 6, it says, whom if thou bring forward. Now, who is it talking about? I believe it's talking about the brethren and strangers that are coming through. So whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort. Now, what does that mean? Bringing them forward on their journey is actually one Greek word. And it means this: to send forth on a journey with an escort and provisions. Now, I want you to picture this. A band of ministers comes through town, and they are seeking to minister to the Word of God. They are faithful. The church has been taught what is truth and what is not, and these ministers have passed the test. They are truth tellers. And so you welcome them into the church, and they have a time with you. They minister the Word of God to you, and then you are to send them forth with an escort and provisions. In other words, you are to send them out and not just goodbye, see you later, thanks for coming, but you are to walk with them. Go with them and escort them to the city gate. See them off, and on the way, pick up some apples from the fruit stand and fill their bags. Make sure that there is provision for them to make the journey to their next destination. Now, this is just interesting to think about if you were back in those days and the journeys would have been taken mostly by foot. Well, we can see here that an important part of hospitality, an important part of being the church, is when people come through, we send them away with provisions and with an escort. We make sure they are safely on their way and that their needs are taken care of. You may sit back and you think, well, why should we do that? Well, maybe the answer is obvious, but take time to really think about this. Those that are ministers for the Word of God, those that have chosen to go about and share Christ, and we know many of them, many have come through our doors. They come because they're called of God. They have a message to bring. And they rely upon the church for their care. And John here is affirming this church and affirming Gaius and saying, well done. You're doing well. You're doing well. Let me just read verse 6 again. Which have borne witness of thy charity before the church. In other words, these people, these traveling missionaries, have experienced love, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort or in a manner worthy of God, thou shalt do well. Verse 7, because that for his name's sake, that is for God's name's sake, or for Jesus' name's sake, they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. You know what, dear ones, I want you to be discerning about something. There are many people out there that seek to gain our attention, to gain our ear. Maybe at some point God may call you to be a missionary or to be one that travels about and serves Christ and ministers the Word of God. And I want you to take note here. They travel for Jesus' sake, and they take nothing of the Gentiles. They're not out there asking for handouts from people that do not know God. But they are seeking provisions from God's people. They're relying upon the church of God. And you know what that means? We have a responsibility to faithfully take care of these folks, that they might be able to accomplish this ministry and to do it well. Verse 8, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth, or for the truth, or with the truth. This term, fellow helper, very simply means a companion in the work. You know, we talk a lot about missionaries here, and I'm glad we do. And sometimes you may feel that there's this disconnect, that there's missionaries and then there's the church. And the things that connect us is this very thin line of financial support, or this very thin line of prayer support. And you may feel that disconnect, and it's challenging. And missionaries, I believe, feel that disconnect at times too. But notice here how John is speaking in verse 8. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers in the truth, or with the truth. A companion in the work. Well, how are they being a companion? They are receiving them in. This is an idea or a term that speaks of hospitality. And one of the key things that we can do as a church is exercise hospitality to the ministers of Christ. And very truly, we are a companion in their work for God. That is a valuable ministry that we as a church can offer to the ministers of Christ, for Christ. Very valuable. That's an important part. We're here. We can do that. So now, John speaking and affirming this church where Gaius is serving. He's affirming the way they have treated the brothers. But there is one in this church. There is one who did not live up to these standards. In verse 9, take note, I wrote unto the church, John says, I wrote, but Diotrephes. And notice this description, who loves to have the preeminence among them, received us not. I want you to notice here that Diotrephes, the mark by which he is known, is that he loves attention. He loves people's eyes upon himself. It's his way or the highway. In a very literal sense. Look on in verse 10. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, John writes. The deeds which he does. Prating against us with malicious words and not content therewith. Neither, listen to this, neither doth he himself receive the brethren. And this word receive here very literally speaks of hospitality. You bringing them in and giving them care. Receiveth the brother and forbiddeth them that would and cast them out of the church. So this guy, Diotrephes, He must have been a leader in the church because he's pushing his weight around. He has influence. He has authority. And John has received this input, this word from the brethren and how they were treated by the church. But there was one in the church that seemed to stick out above all the rest. And it wasn't for a good reason. He was stuck on himself. He was prideful. He wanted the attention. He did not receive them in. In verse 10, it gives yet another, more descriptions of his deeds. He prated against them with malicious words. That is, he spoke against these people with evil intent. And not content therewith, he was discontent. He was not satisfied. He was not a contented man. He was not content with his place, his position, and so therefore he was seeking more. And he did not receive the brethren, and again, he did not receive them in, and he forbids them that did, and those that did, he cast them out of the church. All right, we can read that and we can look at this and say, that guy is bad news. Absolutely, we can look at that and say he's bad news. But before we do that, may we check our own hearts and make sure that there's not a diatrophy in our hearts, in our lives. Well, what are some things we can learn from this? Perhaps, what are some things we should not be as the church or as one as a part of the church? Well, I think it becomes very, very clear and apparent here, because what you see is an exaltation of one's self. You know, dear ones, this is such an important truth. You know, there shouldn't be anybody here in this church that sticks out above another. There shouldn't be this hierarchy of people. I'm not speaking against leadership, okay? But I'm speaking against we as people and our value to the body of Christ. May you and I not love attention for ourselves. May we not desire the position behind the pulpit or behind the podium or behind a microphone or behind an instrument so that we can gain attention and preeminence. If that is a case, you need to check yourself. There needs to be a rearranging of priorities in your heart and life. This is a battle that I go through on a weekly basis. Because, hey, you know, here I am, I'm up here. And I could say, you're down there. You know what? May God keep us humble. I think it's every week I pray and I say, God, I need your grace. Because you resist the proud, but you give grace to the humble. That's the side I want to be on, receiving grace. I don't want God resisting me. And I trust that you will share that same sentiment. So we have Diotrephes, verse 11. Beloved, again, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. Notice that this is a command. This is an imperative. Follow not that which is evil, but follow that which is good. Evil, good. Pretty apparent the definitions of those words. To follow is to proceed or follow after. And I want you to take note of John's statement at the end of verse 11. He that does good is of God, but he that does evil hath not seen God. You know, we need to pay attention when statements like this are made. All right, John especially in his epistles, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, makes many statements such as these. This statement He that does good is of God, but he that doth evil hath not seen God. This is a very definite, clear statement of the boundaries, the expectations of God. What does he say? He that does good is of God. Now, this is an important thing to keep in mind. When you see these kinds of statements, sometimes you can look at it and say, well, this really doesn't make total sense. He that doth good is of God. Well, there's the guy down the street. I saw him do something good. He helped me out of the ditch. Well, then he doth good is of God. He must be of God. Right? Or you could say, he that doth evil hath not seen God. Well, I dare say that I've had an evil thought or I've done an evil deed at some point in my life. Well, what does this mean? And this is where I'm so thankful for some of my education. Because one of the things I learned was that a present tense verb here in the Greek brings along the idea of a continual action. So when you look at this, you could say, he that is continually doing good is of God. But he that is continually doing evil hath not seen God. You get that picture? You know, John, as he's writing this, he is writing a very clear and definitive statement. But the principle is clear. We need to be continually doing good. If a person's life, if they profess with their mouth God, but their life is one of continual evil, in other words, they are continually choosing to walk in ways that are not of God, there is something that is not matching up what they say and the way they live. God knows both. And John is seeking to make the definition clear. If you're continually doing evil, there is a problem with your relationship with God. Verse 12, Demetrius, the second character, he has a good report. A good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and you know that our record is true. May we not be a Diotrephe. If we want to be clever, a catastrophe. But may we be a Demetrius. May we be special and important and valuable in the sight of God by the way we live. And one of the most incredible ways and measures of a man's character is by the testimony that is brought forth by their life. What are others speaking of when they speak of you and your name and your life? Demetrius has a good report of all men. When people speak of his name, it's good. When people speak of him, it's of the truth. So, here's the old apostle, and he's seeking to encourage this church. There's one in that church. I can't wait to get there because he needs some straightening out. I'm going to remember the things that he has done and said. And I'm going to speak to him. But Demetrius, he's got a good report of all men and of the truth. Gaius, you are living faithfully. Continue to care for the ministers and be hospitable to them. Send them on their way with an escort and with provisions. Don't be a catastrophe like Diotrephe. Don't seek to love the attention. But rather, give the attention unto God. Take the statement that John made He that does good is of God, but he that doing evil hath not seen God. Take that to heart, and may you be a believer. May we be a church that is continually doing good, that is faithful in receiving people and sending them on their way in hospitality. Lord, I thank you for the ministry of your word. What a pleasure it is to feast at the table tonight. I enjoy each one that's here, and I thank you for the joy that we can share together over this truth. I pray that you would carry them through this week. Lift up their eyes unto heaven. Lord, may they not miss your greatness. May they know their desperate need of you. And Lord, may they embrace the truth. Help us as a church to be hospitable. Help us as individuals to be hospitable and caring and loving. God, we need your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.